Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and Lackawanna County Volunteer Sheriff's Deputy, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, chair model.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Close your eyes. Picture a convict. What's he wearing? Nothing special. Baseball cap on backward, baggy pants. He says something ordinary like, yo, that's shizzle. Okay, now slowly open your eyes again. Who are you picturing? A black man? Wrong. That was a white woman.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week I'm very excited. We're doing a voicemail episode.
We are. We are. We used to do the mailbag episodes, and then, of course, we threw that onto our Patreon-only exclusive yes. list. But we realized we still have all these voicemails coming in, and every now and then we're just going to do a voicemail episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you want to join us on Patreon, it's $5 a month. You can become a Scott's Tot, and every question on Patreon gets answered on a bonus episode every month. So you can sign up for that. And you'll get stuff like this every.
And we get a lot of the emails. We get messages on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. But we still, you know, the voicemails are the bread and butter of our listener questions, and so we still want to incorporate those from time to time. Mm-hmm. And we haven't played a voicemail in a while. And also, to be frank and honest, you know, Sean, when this comes out, you will have just gotten married, and so life's just very busy for everyone right now.
That's right.
And
that's
we
right.
wanted to record this way ahead of time because we're going to take time off for your wedding and all this stuff, which just happened. I'm sure we had a great time, future
it
us.
It was so much fun.
Man, what a great wedding that was.
I wrote going to a wedding on the back of my windshield and tied a bunch of full soda and beer cans to the back of the car, drove down the road.
Going to a wedding.
I loved that part.
Yeah. Anyway, so this was a way of like, hey, we got to do a show this week, and let's talk to the people, you know?
Yeah, Vox let's talk Populi, to the people. I am so excited to hear from all y'all. Let's get it started, huh?
Let's do it.
Let's play a voicemail from Grace from California.
Hey guys, it's Grace again from Brea, California. So today I was just burning time on Instagram and came across a picture of someone who had gotten an office tattoo. And when I say this is a huge tattoo, I mean huge, like from armpit to hip, it was insane. So my question is, if you guys had to get a quote or character tattooed on your body, like required, what would you get and for what reason? Please, have a great day.
Okay, which office tattoo would you guys get? That is a great question. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Grace.
What do you think, Sean? You're tattooed. What's your first instinct?
I think I'm the only one inked among us.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, getting a quote would be simple. You know, a little "Did I stutter?" or something like that that you can like flash at somebody when you're like. Did I stutter?
right across your chest, just rip your shirt open.
Just across the knuckles.
Yeah.
I don't think it would fit.
No, you do a D-I-D-I and then like S-T-U-T-R, like stutter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Right on the knuckles. That's great.
Oh, man. Did I stutter? What about any ideas that came to mind for you fellas?
Dude, it's like armpit to hip, like a huge one.
I think I saw that one. I'm trying to find it.
Oh, so how about this? I just went ahead and looked up office tattoos. There's a lot of prison Mike, like a lot of traditional Tatsy's a prison.
If I did hard time,
staplers and Jello.
If I was doing hard time for a while, I might get a prison bike tattoo.
That's a good one.
I think that's the only circumstance I would do that.
There's a lot of beets.
Oh,
with you know little shroot farms. There's a beet that just says false. I love that.
That's good. I think if it's gonna be a character. It feels like it'd have to be something with Michael. I don't think I'd do prison Mike. I think Michael in the fat suit, like, hello, everybody. Like,
yeah.
That image of him coming in would be the funniest tattoo I could think I could get. Like a big, big realistic one down my whole side, arms out all the way.
That's great.
Pretty funny.
There's just one with the CPR dummy with the knife in its chest and the face ripped off.
I would like one of Michael either in mid no from the Frame Toby episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even better, one where Michael is truly relieved. Like I'm thinking of when he and Dwight are trying to get a hold of David Wallace and Dwight pretends that he's kidnapped David Wallace's child.
Mm.
And then
yeah.
This is Michael. You know, they totally backtrack on it, and then Michael says, "I was never given a name."
Creed like shredding guitar would be a pretty cool tattoo.
Oh, that's a good one. Like just like his full body, like a little
A shot from like Booze Cruise where he's playing or something in one of the deleted scenes, and just like get like maybe with the Bluetooth in that we see during the lip sync.
Yeah,
just that's that like solo like that. He does. That'd be pretty cool.
I like that. I mean, I would like a subtle one that maybe, you know, wasn't blatantly The Office. Like, just like the, I've seen a few of these that are just the building, just a line drawing of the building. Mm-hmm. I think that's a nice one.
Yeah.
What about KISS? What's the best advice I ever gave you? Keep it simple, stupid.
You do that, the vertical, like kiss vertically, and then it says keep it simple, stupid. Or bow body.
Don't be an idiot. Yeah. Every time I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that thing? Mm-hmm. Bow body would be good.
World's bow best body, boss like mug would be classic. Yeah, the smaller simple objects would be just as good if you were to get a smaller one. Office Olympics medal somewhere on you, just a yogurt lid.
Mm-hmm. A Dundee. What if you got the verbiage from the Michael Scott Fun Run tee on your chest and then on also on your back?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Pro am.
Wow. That'd be hardcore for sure.
Pro am. Oh my God. That's a great one. That would be such commitment. The whole back in that.
I was also thinking
context.
Like the name and the Dunder Mifflin badge from the warehouse uniforms.
Yeah.
Madge. I like that. Somebody just got 9,986,000 tattooed on them.
That's pretty.
For the goodbye Michael episode, Last Dundies.
Mm. Here's one. Here's one for Oscar fans. You go one on each forearm, and it says "para ti, para ti."
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Para ti.
Oh man, I'm gonna keep thinking about that. Maybe a watermelon hurtling towards a trampoline.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, smashed on a car. Yeah, be pretty good.
A nard dog,
classic.
Oh, a nard dog. Well, that's the real tattoo from the show. Yeah, sure. That's a good one.
That's my nickety name.
nice. I guess if anyone out there has an office tattoo, that would be awesome if you'd share it with us.
I think a Stanley just kind of exasperated face would get a lot of mileage as well. Anything with a pretzel with everything on it and like dripping a little bit. A weird kind of messed up tattoo. Be kind of cool.
Anyway. I feel good on this Chili's tonight. That would be a good quote.
That's a good one. I did see one of like a baby version of Kevin with the spilled chili next to him.
Oh boy.
That's like a popular drawing. They're like, those are on like t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So good.
How about just a straight princess unicorn tattoo?
My horn can pierce the sky. My all right, great.
Pierce the sky.
Awesome My question from horn. Grace. If anyone out there, if anyone out there's got an office tattoo or an idea for one, please share it with us. Thank you, Grace. Okay. This next message coming to us from Corinne from Texas.
Hey, guys. This is Corinne. I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas. So here's my first question or topic. I've always felt a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that when Michael thinks, I think in season 3, that he is going to get that job at corporate, and he's dating Jan, and he goes to interview, and that's when Jim and Karen also go and interview for it. He thinks he's going to get that job, and he has decided that it's happening, and he decides that Dwight's going to take his manager job, and Dwight paints the office black and all that. Michael's totally okay with leaving everyone. He doesn't seem bothered. He seems over it. He doesn't seem like he's going to miss him. There's no emotion, you know, no sad emotion whatsoever. And then, of course, we see the inverse of that when he actually does leave in season 7, and he's just heartbroken to leave these people who he thinks are his family. I've always been bothered by that, just that when the show knows that he's not really going to leave, it just really doesn't seem to faze him. And then we see how he really feels about it, and I don't really know why there would be such a difference in those two reactions. So love to get your guys' thoughts. Enjoy the podcast. Keep it up. And thanks.
Thank you, Corinne. That's a great point. At the end of season 3, we think Michael thinks he's gonna leave the Scranton branch and go work at corporate, but he doesn't seem fazed at all. And then when he leaves the show in season 7, everyone's heartbroken and they make a big deal about it. I mean, it's a good point that, like, you know, the writers know he's not leaving.
I think it's an interesting thing to notice or to point out. Certainly we don't see Michael express a lot, except for this is the one where he leaves and he plays he has the boombox. Na 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 na.
Yeah, I guess that's his big exit.
Yeah, his big exit.
I want to thank you for it. Yeah. Such an Andy Bernard song to the human scene, you know?
I think there are two things. I think in season 7, Michael has grown. In all of season 7, what we see is Michael showing character growth. And I think the reason that he's so truly heartbroken is that he knows that he's really moved on and that Colorado is a lot further away than New York. And he's not going to be really interacting with or seeing these people on a regular basis. I think Michael going to New York, he's so swept up in this opportunity, in his relationship with Jan, because he's assuming that both of them will be working together in corporate. And I also imagine that he'll be in Scranton all the time, just as, you know, Jan kind of pops in from time to time and Ryan as well. Michael will just be there. I imagine Michael in his office on his first day at corporate, I imagine, would be calling Scranton branch, Stanley, like this all the time.
Pamela.
Yeah. Yeah. Pam, it's Michael Scott. How's Drix? Yeah. Like, he would be interacting with them so much if he were in corporate. So I think that's
miss
probably
you.
What he's got. Yeah.
Miss you. So much.
So much. Yeah, I think that's it. Totally. It's like, he knows he'll be back is probably a lot more than Jan ever did, but mm-hmm. not only would he still be seeing everyone, he'd be a higher ranking and still seeing everyone. So it seems like in that moment, he's just more excited to have a more high ranking job and have a little more status. And he's pretty swept up with that as opposed to this. He's like, I'm not saying goodbye to these people. I'll just see them less, but it's better for me. I think also near the end, like you said, he's moving to Boulder. He's probably not going to see people at all. He's not going to be communicating with them. And by that time, he's presided over a lot more in the office. I think he's got a lot more investment and a lot more capital with the people. Like, by that time, he's seen Jim and Pam married. They've had a kid. He's seen his family of children grow up and marry each other. It's every kid's dream. You know, this is like, but by the time he actually leaves, it is a little more emotional. I think a lot more has just gone on. And by that time in season 3, there's just not quite as much of a cachet of things that he's seen happen in the office, too.
I think it makes sense that he'd be coming back as a corporate figure more often. So it's not goodbye forever.
I'm
this
imagining...
is really good. This is really good. My heart soars with the eagle's nest.
Just imagine Michael as in corporate giving conference rooms meetings with the other branch managers. Let's say one is Dwight, one is Karen.
Oh man, I can only imagine. Thank you so much, Corinne. It's a great message from Corinne.
I just want a little taste of it.
Sorry, that made me think of any place to song.
Need more Mullins. Everything.
Let's move on to this message from Marissa from Illinois.
Hello, my name is Marissa from Good Carbon, Illinois. It is midnight, and I'm making spaghetti sauce, and I'm listening to your podcast, the most recent one about Kevin, and there was one moment that you did not talk about that is my absolute favorite moment, when Daryl is seeing his ex-wife, and she comes to the office to see him. Aaron, I don't know where she's at, because middle of the night, I'm not watching it right now, but Kevin is manning the front desk, and he says, I'm not supposed to speak for the office. There's usually an alien here. Daryl, a girl. That is my absolute favorite Kevin moment. And so I figured I would call it. And hey, that's about it. I love your podcast, although there are some things that you don't know. But that's okay.
Oh.
Keep up the good work, and I really appreciate you guys.
Oh, thanks, Marissa. We really appreciate you, too. Yes, there's definitely some things we don't know. But
even now, I'm thinking to something that I might have said in this episode that is probably wrong. But
yep.
There's one thing that we can promise. We will be imperfect. That is for sure.
We will be imperfect, and we will try our best.
You know, I like this. I like that she started this voicemail with saying that she's making spaghetti sauce. And in our very first episode, you're like, Sean, our cold opens are just like, I'm just thinking this is something people listen to while they're doing chores or cooking or laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe some spaghetti. Yeah, maybe
spaghetti.
Kevin, and, damn it.
and that's why this is just conversational. These are friends talking about The Office. So yeah, we do mess it up sometimes, but.
Yeah,
we hear about it every time we do. So don't worry.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Don't feel like we think we're getting away with anything. Yeah.
Look, let's answer the question. I mean, or let's speak to the moment. I think that is a great moment from Kevin.
That's incredible.
I do one thing. I mentioned this on another episode, but after doing the Kevin episode, there are so many Kevin moments that keep popping into my head, or that I keep seeing when I rewatch that we either didn't talk about
Daryl,
or that we talked about quickly. Yeah. Kevin gets flustered that way. Oscar, tell him.
I love
those kinds of moments where Kevin gets kind of flustered, and it all happens so fast. Yeah.
Why not? How come not?
Good Valentine's Day. I wanted to eat pigs in a blanket.
F*** you, gay.
Oh, God.
I just want to make this announcement so that everyone will like me. And a chow.
A chow.
Yeah, women be shopping.
Or when he gets, he tries to get Daryl and Toby to compete over him for cookie sales.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I want to be wined and dined at 69.
Come on, my baby. Come on, money.
When he kisses Meredith and he's like, so good.
Also, man, when
he's being fed broccoli.
I think a little bit of The Office that I feel like doesn't get talked about much, and at least in, you know, fan groups, and we haven't talked about it much, is when Packer laces the cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
I think the episode is The Farm. I think in season 9, but just Andy and Kevin have that night to themselves in the office where they're like sitting on the table and like feeling each other's faces. And it's just,
It only happens a few times. You get characters like just hanging out in the office late, like D'Angelo and Michael do it that one night. You mentioned Kevin and Andy, and there's really, like, there's one more example. Well, certainly Angela,
Holly and Michael
and Dwight. Yeah, Holly and Michael. Like,
I'm a crazy eight. You're crazy.
Those are just fun little times. They don't happen that much. Or when people are inebriated in the office. It's good times.
Mama Bear. That's another one I like.
Anyway, we do get a lot of people being like, oh, you didn't mention this moment or my favorite moment, but we do. Mm-hmm. We know there's just too many moments. That's why we're doing a show, so we can do 300 episodes, so we finally talk about every moment on The Office. Eventually.
We will get to all
eventually
of them.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Only with your help, guys. So, continue to write to us the parts we miss. We don't want to miss anything. We need your help. So thank you, Marissa. This next message coming to us from Josh in Indiana.
Hey, this is Josh from Newcastle, Indiana. I just stumbled across your podcast a few weeks ago, and I'm loving it. I'm tearing right through it. So because I only recently found this, I'm not sure if you've addressed this before, but my point concerns Andy as a character. I've always kind of felt that Andy as a jerk was a much better and funnier character than Andy as a reformed nice guy. I understand that for the show and probably for the actor, Andy as a jerk wasn't sustainable, but I just can't help but feel that he was much more entertaining in that way. Where do you guys weigh in on this? Thanks. Keep it up.
Thank you, Josh. I think we touched on it a little bit when we did an Andy episode, but like for me personally, it's just important that Andy doesn't have any power or confidence. If he has confidence and power, he's not funny to me. And so in season three, when Andy is kind of a jerk, he is still very funny to me and almost just as funny as after he comes back reformed. But the worst is when you get to season nine and he is actually the manager. He's just not funny at that point, even though he is a jerk at that point. What do you guys think?
I was going to say, I think he's more of a jerk at the end. I think in the early Andy, I don't really think he's really a jerk. He's just a lot more dumb and thick and just kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but then he's sort of reformed and then he's just sort of, he's harmless for a while and he's still funny. And then he becomes more of a jerk as the series goes on, at least certainly in season nine. Season eight, he's trying hard to be liked as a manager for the most part. And it's actually works out. But I do think he was a lot funnier when he was a little bit more of a frat guy early on. He brought it was sort of a new energy that Ryan almost filled, but not at all. And he was really funny in that way. And it doesn't last that long for sure.
I mean, I think I talked about this a little bit in our Jim and Karen episode from last week. But if Sanford is the sort of microscopic version of The Office with Jim and Karen and Andy and Josh, so to speak, and they kind of crash together, they merge. Mm-hmm. It's so funny to have two like antagonizing forces in Dwight and Andy occupying the same space. So to Josh's point, it isn't sustainable. They couldn't like have been together forever in those roles. But there is something so funny about Andy. There, Andy in this run is so brash and so abrasive. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between him and Dwight is that Dwight, they're both annoying. I think there's a line from John Krasinski. It's either in the Brian Baumgartner podcast or the Andy Green book where they're talking about when they were just like running scenes and Dwight or Rainn Wilson was so annoying with this like beeping noise or something like that he was doing in a scene that he knew that he was perfect for Dwight or John Krasinski knew that he was perfect for Dwight. But Dwight is annoying in these seasons, but he doesn't necessarily have the same edge. I think part of the reason Jim feels so comfortable pranking Dwight is because there isn't a real repercussion outside of Dwight telling on him to Michael. But with Andy in Stanford, immediately Andy kicks the garbage can and Jim backs away completely. There is an edge and this sort of, we don't know what the hell this guy's going to do kind of energy to Andy as manifested in him punching the wall.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot you for real.
Yeah, there's something really funny about how relentlessly annoying and when he reels in Jim and like he just sorry I annoyed you with my friendship to Michael. Mm-hmm. He's really really relentless in a way that is different from
Dwight. It's suffocating.
But it is so funny to watch him like try so hard and so blatantly with what he's doing. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like there's a definition of comedy out there that's like, you know, a character who wants something and will stop at absolutely nothing to get it. And we see that in Michael Scott. wanting to be liked by everybody, or mm-hmm. you see it in Dwight wanting to become manager or things like that. And you see it in Andy wanting to become the manager's number two when he's trying to sabotage Dwight. And I would say that he's being a jerk in those episodes. And that's very funny. But like in season nine, what his goal is to make Nelly feel bad. And that's what he'll stop at nothing to do. So like he's just being a jerk with the slack line and stuff like that. And I think the stakes are just lower for his goal. And therefore, it's just not as funny to me. So I think it's
a good point with Dwight, because it seems like when Dwight is a jerk, it's usually to assert his independence or to test out him being his own person. I mean, even the little moments when he's like fanning Michael's foot in the injury and he's like, it slipped. And the way he looks,
he just
likes to play with, what if I do my own thing? Versus when Andy is a bit of a jerk, he's reverting to like this, his Andy's like schoolyard understanding of being popular means being mean to other people. And it's not nice. And like he's mean to people because he's trying to be liked, which is really annoying. Which is very different from Dwight.
So we've talked about Andy in his pre-anger management phase, and you guys have touched on Andy in season nine, but we haven't talked about the reformed nice guy Andy. And not that we have to spend a ton of time dwelling into that, but I guess I'm curious which one you think is funnier, frat boy Andy or reformed nice guy Andy?
I mean, there's something so funny to me about, like, you know, Dwight shunning him and him still trying to appeal to Dwight. Reshunned. But yeah, I mean, I kind of like nice guy Andy in a lot of ways.
I graduated from anger management the same way I graduated from Cornell. On time.
On time.
Straight B's, they call me Buzz.
Andy is afraid.
The baby talk Andy. The pastel Easter Andy, we could call him for a while. He is just kind of like Easter. It's like, is this really a holiday? Is this just the colors? It feels weird. I don't know what to...
That's what Michael said. Yeah. He's not a snappy dresser. Always reminds me of Easter.
Yeah. No, Andy has a lot of... They play Andy's... Andy's almost like neutered in so many ways, and they play that for a lot of good comedy for several seasons throughout the middle. And it is funny. It has its ups and downs. But by the time it peters out in season 7 and 8, I feel like they've exhausted a lot of Andy's humor, and I mean the peak is like 3, 4, 5 for Andy.
Andy in Canada with Oscar is hilarious. That's a nice guy Andy when he's dating Angela and trying to win her love. That's hysterical to me.
Andy, how do you even know they're gay? Are you kidding? It's Dandy Dale and Fobby McGee over there.
How do you like these apples?
But you will thank me when they spank me.
My favorite Andy moments are the earlier when he is a little bit more mean, or not mean, but just like oblivious. When he's standing with the full splits at the desk, or when he's calling Jim, he's like, "I'm so horny." Like that Andy. Is like,
a ding dong.
Yeah, that Andy is the funniest. Like
that kidding? Andy's spectacular.
Yeah. I live to frolf. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Josh. Let's move on to another message from Laura in New Jersey.
Hi, this is Laura from New Jersey. I'm just calling to tell you guys how amazing you are. I'm a new mom, and I can't pay attention to anything wholeheartedly. Everything is, you know, half listening. And with you guys, it's the only thing that I've listened to or watched since I had the baby that I actually focus on. Also, her favorite show is The Office, and she prefers the episodes with Michael Scott. She cries if he's not there. And your theme song is her favorite song. So just wanted to say thanks for all that you do. I'm a new fan, and since I've started listening to you guys, I haven't listened to even The Office Ladies. So you're topping them in my book. Keep it going. Thanks.
Oh, man. Thanks so much, Laura.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome. I just love that one because I just think that's so funny that her kid cries when Michael Scott's not there. Babies do love Michael Scott.
Daddy's here for you, my widow angels.
If a baby were president, there'd be no war.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
No government.
Thanks for calling,
and
Laura.
Things
may I?
Could get terrible.
Yeah, hey, I'm a baby.
May I? Oh, yeah.
May I? I wonder that moment. I rewatched The Convict, as you guessed from the drop at the start of the show, but that, and we talked about the Hannah, the way she holds her baby. That Hannah is so nice in that moment. When Michael's like, may I? She's like, sure. And then the way he does that is so distasteful to Hannah. I just wonder if that is a big reason why everything just went south with the crew from Stamford. Was that because Hannah's just like, okay, from that moment on, she's just miserable.
Mm-hmm. I love when Michael just gets a stage and he just will run and just try things out. It happens here when he's just talking. It happens in
Milk.
It happens in Niagara. When he says, I'm not giving you a speech, just freestanding comedy. Yeah. At Phyllis's wedding, when he says, and for the next 40 minutes, I will be your guide.
Yeah, through Bob and Phyllis's relationship.
And in Dwight's speech, when he's just up there trying stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that he rewatched Look Who's Talking over the weekend, and this idea just popped into his head as soon as he saw the baby. oh man, thanks so much, Laura. Let's listen to a voicemail from Morgan from Virginia.
Oh, before we do, shout out to Edwin, you know, for that song, singing and playing our theme song.
Oh yeah, of course, man.
People's favorite song out there, you know.
That's Edwin.
It's beautiful.
We still get messages about how we changed the lyric at one point.
I saw a voicemail.
They just haven't got. They'll get there.
A lot of work to replace those, and I don't care enough to do it. So
no.
Someday, maybe someday. What was our next one?
Morgan.
This is Morgan from Virginia.
Hi, this is Morgan from Roanoke, Virginia. I'm watching Business Ethics when Jim tells the whole office that him and Pam are engaged. And I was wondering, are there any moments for you guys that are completely in character, but you hate, like you find infuriating or just sad? The moment that for me in this episode that happens with is when Andy says a little close to my engagement there, Tuna. It bothers me so much because he stole Jim's engagement in the first place.
Mm.
Wait, no, her voicemail cut out. Hang on.
Totally say thinking of where Kevin drops the chili. It's the biggest cringe moment for me in the series, and I know people talk about skipping Scott's toss a lot. I always watch that episode, but Kevin dropping that chili pot is something I always skip. I just cannot stand it. My heart breaks every time I see it. Again, completely in character, but I just hate it. So I was wondering if you guys have any moments for you like that. Let me know. Would love to hear this on the podcast. I love your podcast so much. Please keep it up, and y'all take care. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Morgan. Okay, moments that are in character, but you hate, you can't stand.
I got one.
Okay.
Jim rejecting Toby's fist bump.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
where
is
that's awful.
Is that your new? Is that your new thing now? Come on, Jim. You don't know what a fist bump is. Like, there's
what the hell?
There's I don't like that moment per se. It kind of in the first couple seasons, Toby gets moments where he's. He shows just a little bit, like he's portrayed differently. In I'm trying to think of the episode. It's Boys and Girls, I think, when everyone is about to leave and Toby is the last one in the office, and he just like holds his hand up to the camera, like shh, and then he like closes the door.
Yeah.
Not the episode. Or in just, I don't know, Toby is portrayed a little differently in the first two seasons before he becomes the complete punching bag for Michael. And this is a moment where one of the characters just doesn't give Toby a break.
Yeah. I agree. That part I'm always like, ugh. Jim does a talking head where he takes his shirt off and he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize this was an office and not a... What is that part?
French Beach.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like that joke. I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird that he took his shirt off. to do the joke. I don't know. I don't
it
know.
Feels that one feels a little out of character, I think.
There you go. Jam. Maybe that's what it is. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think this is really in character, but super bugs me is the entire arc with Andy not wanting there to be any drama with Aaron, and he treats Aaron like the things he says, and when he kind of gets mad at Aaron,
yeah,
a couple times, and it's like, yeah, so not a big deal, and he's acting like such a little kid, and it's yeah, pretty on brand for Andy, but it just really bothers me how he treats Aaron and like everything he does to not. You know, and then by the end, it's like, you love drama, and he's like, I do.
Yeah, but,
that just bugs me that whole time that he's doing that. Just hate it.
Any other in character moments that are cringe to you?
Not that I can think. It's a tough balance where they're in character and also frustrating. Frustrating right. moments are often out of character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because like I think of like Michael Scott giving Oscar the little thing that he made before he was about to leave. He gives him like a little
a little doll
that he made, and then he thinks it's hilarious that Oscar accepts it. That one always is like, no, not in character though. That's what it is about that one that I don't like. So yeah, I'm gonna keep thinking about that one, Morgan. That's a great just thing to keep an eye out for. So I know it'll come back. As we continue to watch and do episodes.
I have one for you, Sean.
Okay.
When Phyllis, I think it's very in character when Phyllis gets so exasperated and David Wallace.
I was literally thinking about that one just now too. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Phyllis Vance for David Wallace.
The way she has every right to do it, and she's totally justified. But there's something. Yeah. I know that
something
just bugs
weird
you.
About that. I don't know what it is about that one.
I know.
It all makes sense. It all makes perfect sense. I just think like it's, I don't know what it is about the way that line is delivered. It
smells like popcorn.
anyways, thank you so much, Morgan. Let's go to a voicemail from Cedar in Arkansas.
Hey, guys. This is Cedar Johnson from Benton, Arkansas. And I was calling to say that I was listening to episode 75 talking about Ryan, and you completely missed the part where he's trying to get Jim fired because Pam wouldn't go out with him. He has her design the logo, and then he's like, okay, let's go out for dinner, wear something nice. And she's like, oh, I'm going out with Jim. And Jim just waves from his desk. You guys missed that. I don't know if anybody else has called that out or not, but that is why he tried to get Jim fired. And Toby also had a thing for Pam all throughout all of the seasons. So even in the wedding episode of Jim and Pam, Toby is like, oh, yeah, maybe they're not going to get married because they went and got married on the boat first. Sorry, it's rambly. Just letting you know. Everybody hates Jim because everybody loves Pam. Love the podcast. Bye.
It's a good point.
Thanks so much, Cedar.
Everyone in the show hates Jim because they all like Pam. I think that's what she's saying, right?
Except for Meredith.
Except for Meredith. Yeah. Meredith is the best.
But yeah, that's a great point. We didn't bring that up. And I don't know if, like, maybe I just don't think about that very often. That's really the starting point for Ryan's hatred of Jim or.
I personally would say that I don't think we missed it. It's just I personally never read it that way. And I'm curious to know if maybe that's something or how you guys interpreted it. My interpretation was always that Ryan was frustrated with Jim because Jim went over his head to Wallace.
Right.
And was giving it. And that Ryan, I think, resents Jim's close relationship with David Wallace. And he knows how much time Jim would waste when Ryan was a temp. So I always thought that's kind of where it came from personally. It's an interesting thing to think that he wants to get Jim fired because of Pam. I just never thought about it that way. And we know that Toby has a crush on Pam all the way through, but I don't know that it ever manifested in like dislike for Jim per se.
Right.
He expresses like frustration at them being together or doing, I think PDA, he's like, maybe all that time of spending time with Pam and
hanging out with Pam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I never took it as them just disliking Jim. But what do you guys think?
I think it's one ingredient in a lot of things that make Ryan resentful of the world around him in a lot of ways. Like, Ryan's just very egotistical, and I think Jim challenges Ryan's ego. I think he sees Jim, and maybe he's taller, he's better looking or whatever. He's probably was a pick ahead of Ryan for the job. Maybe Ryan knows that. Like, he knows that Jim withdrew and then he called Ryan afterwards. And he says, well, I know how little Jim works, and I'm going to sort of, he does what insecure men in power do, which is flex their power and try and get people they don't like out of their life. And I think you're right here, Cedar, that it's part of it. I don't think it's the only reason, but I think it didn't help. And it's like, oh,
certainly
you're with Jim. Well, I don't like Jim anyways.
You're kidding. Yeah, I do love kidding. That all that when the characters have very skeptical reactions to Jim and Pam being together at all.
Yeah, that's still going.
The way Ryan kind of backs away from reception in that moment is so realistic, though. I think BJ Novak does such a good job of like tail between the legs right there.
Oh gosh, great call out, Cedar. Thank you so much. I want to end on this a voicemail from an anonymous caller.
Oh yeah,
I need paper.
That's it. That was the whole voicemail.
Paper.
I need paper.
Might need to play that one again. It's so short.
Okay, sure.
I need paper.
I just love it. Thank you so much to whoever did that. Yeah. It was very funny. And thank you to everyone who called and left us messages.
It might have been Thaddeus. Sounds like Thaddeus.
It does
kind of
sound like Thaddeus.
Oh, yeah.
One of the Thaddeuses.
We have several out there.
And thank you to everyone who called in. You guys, we really, really appreciate it. Please keep the voicemails coming. You can call us 503-694-9314. Call and leave a message. You can email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We got the website, michaelscottpod.com, and join us on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Tot, $5 a month. You get a mailbag episode where we answer all Patreon questions, and it's for a good cause. A third of that money is going to go towards Thurgood Marshall. What's it called? Thurgood Marshall
College. Thurgood Marshall College Fund.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then I think we'll rotate charities each month, I think is what we've talked about, or different cadence. But yeah.
Yep.
Thank you again to everyone for listening. We really, truly appreciate it. You're the reason we got into the paper business. We love you, New York.
Give me poppy, give me the zop.
Yes, sir.
If you're all alone, when the pretty birds have flown, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Gonna do my very best, and that ain't no lie. If you put me to the test, if you let me try, take a chance on me. That's all I ask of you, Angela. Take a chance. Take a chance. On me.
Hey, how'd it go? Yeah, what'd you say?
I don't know yet. I have to call you back.
Oh, you gotta give us something.
I'll call you back.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.